My wife got was obviously whatever. She just went off on me. Just it was so dramatic, and and it was like bringing up the past and some thoughts and some judgments and all that kind of stuff and some
That
magic.
never happens to me. Never. I'm
Good.
going.
Well, I just want to give you the flavor for it. Just was so dramatic, but you know what? I didn't say anything. I just kind of watched this. I felt it. I felt it in my heart. I mean, it wasn't like I felt, I bought into it to a degree, but I didn't. I did observe a bit, and you know what? I really saw myself. I really saw she acted like I have acted sometimes. And I just saw how incredibly crazy I am and how much hate there is, hatred, how I hate myself
Oh, yeah.
and project a hatred. And that thing came to mind that what Jesus said, resist the temptation to feel you're being untreated fairly. And I get it.
Good,
My
Don.
case.
Yeah.
You
And
see yourself unfairly treated.
what I had this crew throw in my face as soon as I had said basically what you said, and it was a lesson I needed in my face, was, okay, those are a couple of good first steps. Now forgive yourself, which I was definitely not doing. I was judging myself. I was saying, ooh, I see myself from a distance and all my sins and the way I'm a shitty human being. And then the final step I was not employing was the forgiveness of self after all that. Okay, I look at it all and go, you know what? Truly, it's an illusion, but it's not even that you're forgiving. It's all you, forgive yourself for being who you are, for having come into this world in the way that you are. Forgive yourself. You had to enter somewhere, okay? And you're progressing, right? I mean, if you're
And
in
it's not a mistake that
it's
you have
not a
entered is
mistake.
not a mistake.
Yeah. And so therefore, it's not only okay, but it's the only rational thing to do, which is to forgive yourself.
Ooh, rational, key word for tonight.
Is
Rational.
it? So also, Jesus says, what would you fear if you knew everything has been lovingly arranged for you,
Yeah, which is
everything
great.
that
I
happens.
love that line.
I mean, it's so
What
I
could
can't.
you not tolerate if you knew?
What?
I said, what could you not tolerate if you but knew everything in your life has been carefully arranged for you, lovingly arranged for you, for
Well,
your
I
own
mean,
benefit?
and you use the word tolerate, but I guess the real blessing is if you can actually go, well, thank you. Like,
Improve on that yet. Yeah, improve on
yeah,
tolerance.
improve. Yeah, improve on tolerate to go. I mean, that's their forgiveness has to be in there if you can really feel grateful. And I guess what I would say is for me, there's been no like kind of instant shift in feeling or perception, but just a gradual. With these thoughts that have come to me, just kind of a gradual acceptance that seems to be kind of flowing into, my general practice, if you will, my awareness, or I don't know. Anyway, it's I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't,
Well, I love that you and I are starting out with self-loathing, right? And then you turn at forgiveness and shoot back up the other way into I love myself. Okay? And that's the complete opposite of the self-loathing where it started out. Forgiveness was what banged the U-turn, right? So that's just the way it's coming into my poor brain right now. Please excuse me.
Can I add one thing? One thing? One thing for me is I love the idea that what I give is what I receive. So if I forgive somebody else, I'll feel forgiven. And that's for me, that's how I'm going to be doing it.
Yeah.
I don't have to do it to myself. I just need to do it to everybody else in my life that I have had a problem with, I think.
If you want to give out something, give it away.
I've been studying lessons 35 through 39 constantly for the last couple of weeks, over and over and over. And every time I do them once again in line, I feel better about where I'm going. It feels better about how I'm progressing. I get one more thing out of them. Just love those lessons.
That's good.
There is a progression that happens the more you study a course. You can start to allow yourself or afford this other way of thinking, you know, like maybe a bigger picture thinking or a patience or choosing that maybe you don't have to worry so much. Stuff you worry about doesn't actually happen, so the worrying part doesn't pay off. These things. Your perspective changes. The more you do Course in Miracles, you can get out of your victim state that definitely loses. And that courage, it slowly happens for most people. It slowly happens. You find yourself stronger. You find yourself a little more patient. You find yourself tolerant. You just find it. You just discover one day, you know what? I don't freak out so much. When somebody points their finger at me, says my name, and then a four-letter word. To the ego, this was, you know, as bad as it gets. Oh, but you're shifting. You're shifting now. And you're finding a strength that you can use here if you choose to go no further. You can use in your current relationship and just work that if you choose to go no further. Or you can see how deep this rabbit hole goes.
No doubt. Andrew, could you talk a little bit about the distinction between the course's teaching about forgiveness and the world's teaching about forgiveness?
Yes.
I wonder if you could just like, I don't quite get it totally. I can accept that it's different. And I trust, there's this kind of trust that I want to get there. But it can't intellectually understand it exactly.
Yes. Don, you remember we've had a short discussion, I think it was just last night even, that the Course in Miracles talks about an awakening, really an awakening, a progression from wrong-minded through right-minded. But that's not enough. That's not the one mind of God.
It's a stepping stone.
You bet. It's a natural transition. So the forgiveness of the world is wrong-minded. It's beautiful. It's good. It's better than getting punched or being punched. And forgiveness of the world is where you say, I was hurt by you, but I want to be peaceful and happy, and I'm not going to punish you for what you did to me. I will forgive you for being so horrible and hurting me. This is forgiveness of the world, where I'm going to not punish you, although you are guilty. I will forgive you instead. Forgiveness of A Course in Miracles is an inside job. Forgiveness of A Course in Miracles recognizes that everything you experience is your own thinking, not something outside you. And so, forgiveness of A Course in Miracles is I forgive myself for thinking that I lost something through that interchange. I will regain all of my wholeness now with the help of the Holy Spirit. Even though I have to call a lawyer or get stitches or, you know, do whatever you do in the world so you can be comfortable again with the body. But with A Course in Miracles, you're moving your identity out of the body and finding out what's still there. So forgiveness is always going to be in your mind, about your mind. This is true freedom. Because no matter what happens in the world out there, which you really can't change anyway, really, barely, but you can change your mind, and that's where you're going to find your peace. Even if you're the one who ends up in jail. Boy, I hope you've got this forgiveness thing figured out before you get in jail, Don.
Me too.
So now you can be at peace. because it's inside job. You don't have to have any of the outside circumstances change. That's the difference. Outside, inside. Emily.
Oh, I'm just thinking about what Tim said about I got a chance to look at myself. I was being attacked, and I got to see myself. So I'm grateful. And then forgiveness came up. And I'm kind of wondering if maybe, like, is there a moment when forgiveness and even looking at ourselves and accepting ourselves isn't really, like, relevant anymore? Like, it's more like we're just,
yeah,
like, if we're realizing that this isn't real, this Emily, and maybe the world is kind of like, I'm thinking the next step is to just be with the world, not even forgiving, not
yes.
even
like,
never entering into judgment in the first place.
Yeah, like that's the step. The first step maybe, but then the next leap is to be whole.
Is to understand. And that's what we're working on tonight. What the Course in Miracles calls vision. You go from seeing and thinking with your body mind up to your spirit mind. And you have what the Course calls vision or Christ vision. And when you start acting from that perspective, the Holy Spirit gives you, then you still live in the world. You're still in the world. But you no longer need all of these big adjustments that the miracles require. Because you have vision brings you or comes from understanding. And so you will gain an understanding. Part of what we're going to talk about tonight is what that, you know, goal is and how it works and how it fits and how you would work with it. And then you no longer need to be constantly forgiving because you're not constantly condemning. You're not constantly judging something as harmful to you. To the body? Maybe so, but that doesn't mean you have to panic or you have to worry or you have to suffer. You will still feel pain, financial pain, physical pain, mental pain, health pains. You will feel these pains as long as you are in a body and you're harvesting that experience. But the beauty is when you shift from body orientation to spirit orientation, you no longer will have to do all these forgiveness maneuvers because you will not feel threatened. Yes, Emily, it's exactly where you're going. Don't rest until you own it. You can't. You won't anyway. We'll just speed it up with A Course in Miracles. That's all right. That's the idea here. We've given a gift. It's time. The whole world needs it. We're the first to follow in this and continue to devote ourselves to this type of freedom. That's what we're talking about tonight. What is this that you would take on? What change in thinking? Or what's it like living in your head when you've made the change away from wrong mind, from a separation devotion? And you change your devotion to this perspective of oneness. What's different? What's it like? How's it work even? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Course in Miracles, from the author's perspective, is just only reasonable that you would start thinking of oneness, that you start respecting oneness and disrespecting division, disrespecting the illusion of being a character in this dream of the world, time, and space. You know, from his perspective, it's just reasonable that you would start using your mind to go to the larger context. You've been focusing on content. You've been focusing on being a body and worrying about a body and that singular body's perspective. There is a better way, and it's more involving way in where you really are and what you really are, and it can afford love. The separate competitive, worried, fragile, fragmented self actually cannot afford to love. But that's the adventure you're on. What's it like to get away from love, you said? You did it. You did it.
Andrew, before you
go, sir.
I thought that the idea was to focus not on context, but content. I mean, it's just what is those two concepts? Which is it that we gain that's part of the moving forward is to look beyond, I thought, the context or circumstance. I'm just confused.
I apologize for my bad connection. I can see my connection is bad. So, you know, the way I'm using the words tonight, because if you're listening to Ken Wapnick, he uses form and content. So it might be confusing you.
Yeah, I never heard the context word before. I don't recall hearing context before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of an Andrewism. It's a perspective. I'm using it to describe the perspective of if you you are a man, but we can't tell which man you are, what you care about, until I have some context, which is you're also a husband, you're also a father, you're also in California. It's starting to narrow down now. And the more narrow I get, the more special you become. So your content of actually being the Don that you are is what we get with specialness and specificity. But the context would define what you really are and where you really are. Now I'll go out. You really are just, you know, speaking in worldly terms. California, United States, male, let's say male. Part of your context is that you're male. It's not which male, it's just that you're male, and it's very defining. As we get more specific, we get more narrow. In Course in Miracles parlance, your context is spirit, and your content, in this case, is a dream of a character, a material, a body. It's just a way for you to get a perspective of where you're focused on as an ego and where you would be focused as spirit. They're different.
And
you
spirit,
get outside of yourself.
In spirit, I'm not in this body.
And the question is, what are you rather than what you're not? What does spirit mean?
And remember, even as you're dreaming that you have a body, you're still spirit.
Yeah.
Just because you're thinking your body didn't take you out of spirit. So spirit must be here also. And now, it's always now. It's not in time. Spirit can't be found in time. This is the beauty of immediacy. The truth is true always. So we can be in bodies and study A Course in Miracles and get a lightness of being the holy instant. You bet. Ross, what do you got?
No, it seems like it's appropriate as that we've bought into a thought system of birth, life, and death and just are so rock solid that that's the system, the only system there is, and it just isn't. Once you let go of that, and also the big thing is you let go of the trying to control it. We're sitting here, I mean, speaking for myself, I know that that's the program I've been on, trying to control birth, life, and death with every ounce of my being when it ain't true. Death is just the doorway into something else. And once you kind of get onto that and go, wait a minute, this whole program is for the birds. I don't need it. I don't want the program of birth, life, and death. I'm experiencing it, but that doesn't mean I buy into it hook, line, and sinker like I have been for 59 years. I'm just going to say, oh, okay, That's something that I used to do, but I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm just going to be this person that's like, okay, this is this birth, life, and death thing that I've, you know, and I'm still trying to control it. But I'm going to relax the reins a little bit on this birth, life, and control, this birth, life, and death thing, and kind of go, well, you know, I'm a spiritual being having the human experience. Let's just kind of have fun with, you know, trying to break loose of this belief system that I've held for so long. Anyway, seems appropriate.
That's it, Ross. That's what we're talking about tonight, is making the change from being all in on the world to starting to be open to your spirit truth.
True. Yeah. Where are your poker chips? You know, you said all in. That's a poker reference. Are your chips all into that birth, life, and death thing? Because they don't have to be. You can take some off the board, off the, you know, off the dice game, and put them in your pocket. Don't be all in. It ain't so serious.
As the Bible says, where your treasure is, so also will be your heart.
There you go. Yeah, same line of thinking. Luann's got her hand up. Maybe better.
Oh, Luann, please.
Yeah.
Speaking of context, then the first thing I wrote down is, in terms of context about spirit, there is no time. You just got through saying it. So that's kind of like one of the definitions of context, I think, for where we're headed.
Good point. Very good call.
So we kind of are not going to ever feel it until we stop and have a moment or 10 moments or 20 moments of no timeness.
You know, Luann, that's kind of absolute. If you're going to get out of time, there are ways to get out of time. I mean, anybody here who's had one moment of really stillness or a meditation that's very focused, not to be stillness, it can just be focused on a particular truth, time disappears, showing that you're not time-bound. Watch this now, because when you disappear, when time disappears, you don't actually mark it. It's not like you feel how much time is gone. That's time.
I don't know if it's a good example or not, but a number of times I've driven over Highway 17, and I've driven over it so many times, probably 4,000 or 5,000 times, that sometimes I'm moving along and I get over the other side and I say to myself, I don't remember going over that hill.
You don't even remember driving that dangerous road.
No, I say, well, what happened to all my landmarks? Didn't see any of them.
That's right. You were not marking time. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's see if we can get Jesus to weigh in on some of this. Turn to text. Page 474. Let me get my flashlight out so I can see this better.
I got to get my Bible out so I can see it better.
Yeah, get your book so you can start seeing it.
I call this thing the Bible. Course of Miracles is too long to say.
Sure. A lot of times people ask me, you know, what is this Course in Miracles? And I'll look at who the audience is, right? Whenever you say, somebody asks you, what is a Course in Miracles? And sometimes I'll just say Bible study. If it's, you know, that's like the lowest level because it's not accurate. It really is not accurate at all. But in a way, they'll know what I'm doing. I'm studying a big book and it's kind of religious and there's Jesus involved and, you know, what a shortcut. Yeah, spiritual book study sometimes. I'll do that. And they're like, oh, okay, thanks. Bye.
You chased them away.
I'll be out fishing while you're doing that.
Come on, let's have no stereotypes here.
Okay, let's read this section together. Luann, would you read on page 474, Reason and the Forms of Error, would you read paragraph 1?
Yes. Reason and the Forms of Error. The introduction of reason into the ego's thought system is the beginning of its undoing. For reason and the ego are contradictory. Nor is it possible for them to coexist in your awareness. For reason's goal is to make plain and therefore obvious. You can see reason. This is not a play on words, for here is the beginning of a vision that has meaning. I always love it when I run into the word vision because that means I think I'm progressing somewhere.
Nice.
Vision is sense, quite literally. If it's not the body sight, it must be understood. Or it is plain, and what is obvious is not ambiguous. It can be understood, and here do reason and the ego separate to go their separate ways.
We're going to come back and focus in on that paragraph for the rest of the night, but let's go ahead and read through the section first. Tim, would you read for us paragraph 2?
The ego's whole continuance depends on its belief you cannot learn this course.
Nice.
Share this with me, and reason will be unable to see your errors and make way for their correction. For reason sees through errors. Telling you what you thought was real isn't. Reason can see the difference between sin and mistakes because it wants correction. Therefore, it tells you what you thought was uncorrectable can be corrected. And thus it must have been an error. The ego's opposition to correction leads to its fixed belief in sin and disregard of errors. It looks on nothing that can be corrected. Thus does the ego damn and reason save.
Another juicy paragraph. Ross, would you give us the next paragraph, please? I got your mute.
Reason is not salvation in itself, but it makes way for peace and brings you to a state of mind in which salvation can be given you.
Sin and Ross, we're not going to get to that paragraph tonight, so just to warm you guys up for where we're going and how metaphysical what we're talking about is, reread that sentence, but put the word miracle in place of reason and see how it sounds.
Miracle is not salvation in itself, but it makes way for peace and brings you to a state of mind in which salvation can be given you.
So this is a true statement. When you put miracle in there, it's a true teaching. Please continue.
Sin is a block set like a heavy gate, locked and without a key, across the road to peace. No one who looks on it without the help of reason would try to pass it. The body's eyes behold it as solid granite, so thick it would be madness to attempt to pass it. But reason sees through it easily because it is an error. The form it takes cannot conceal its emptiness from reason's eyes.
Excellent. Another transformative paragraph, very consistent with what we're learning here. Don, would you give us paragraph 4, please?
Yes. Only the form of error, excuse me. Only the form of error attracts the ego, meaning it does not recognize. Meaning it does not recognize and does not see if it is there or not. Everything the body's eyes can see is a mistake, an error in perception, a distorted fragment of the whole without the meaning that the whole would give. And yet mistakes, regardless of their form, can be corrected. Sin is but error in a special form the ego venerates. It would preserve all errors and make them sins. For here is its own stability, its heavy anchor in the shifting world it made. The rock on which its church is built and where its worshipers are bound to bodies, believing the body's freedom is their own.
Pretty consistent for a book that spends so much time trying to teach you that you're not a body.
Yeah.
Could I?
Go ahead.
I had a thought on it. It felt like a change of thinking. If I can see everyone without error, without a body, in other words, everything they think they are, everything I think they are, is not there anymore, then the only thing left is God's way of looking at us, of being with us.
Say that last part again. My connection's pretty bad.
Oh, okay. If I can eliminate the idea that we are bodies, then the only thing left is how God looks at us with love.
Yes, your mind actually holds only the thoughts you think with God. Those are the only ones that you can actually keep.
That's like making the distinction between seeing, experiencing the world through the physical senses versus experiencing the world through spirit, through one eye, you know, like spiritual eye, for example.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and also you might say it's a difference between belief and knowing.
Yeah.
Or between fantasy and truth.
Yeah.
Fantasies are great. You can occupy a lot of time with fantasies.
You can live your whole life in fantasy.
And they're very exciting. Chaotic, perhaps, because you have to keep them up. They're not true. They're not real. But you can do that. When you're in truth, suddenly your sentences are shorter and your stress is lower. The truth is so aligning, isn't it? When you're not lying or hiding. What do you got, Tim?
With apologies, I have flashing lights at my door, which is almost certainly due to an ambulance next door with my neighbor. So people are knocking and I need to go deal with what's unfolding on the movie screen in front of me right now. So I will go step in front and cope with grace and empowerment. Thank you, guys.
Godspeed.
Yeah. We're not seeing all that, by the way. We're not seeing that.
Thank you, Doctor. So, Don, you bet. That's what we're talking about tonight, and with this whole section, it's a very generous section, and I'm glad we're getting a chance to spend time together on it. This transition from the small mindedness to the large mindedness, from wrong mind to right mind, from a narrow focus which is divisive to a larger focus which is inclusive. I mean, this is what kind of change we're making when you go to what Course calls vision. We're learning how to do that, and then you get devoted to doing that.
I feel as if the interaction with Michelle the other night was a step towards vision. Or, you know, there's that word where we talk, where we have that prayer that says, Holy Spirit, take this from me and judge it for me. Let it not be a sign of sin or death, nor use it for destruction. And then teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but to give it to you to use for me to facilitate it. And so, you know, so often when I use that process, I'm looking for something to happen right now. And, you know, I'm too stubborn for it to happen right now. My mind is too stubborn about that. I think. I don't want to get pejorative, but you know, just I'm still not able to totally let go. And so the way it came about and I was able to respond to it was a movement towards giving it to Holy Spirit to use it for me to facilitate peace, not as an obstacle I would make it. That's really, at this very moment, so encouraging to me. That's so encouraging to me. Yes.
Don, that's it. That is the devotion is taking place in you, and you're abandoning your ego, and that's what it looks like.
And I feel like the lessons are the way I'm getting to that point. I've been doing those four or five lessons. I've already done them about three full times, and I'm going to start on them again when I get finished.
What'd you say, 35, 36, and 37?
And 38.
And 38.
Those lessons just, for me, say it all. It talks about vision. It talks about what you need to get rid of vision. It talks about what you need to believe. It talks about everything. It talks about what you need to know, I should say, instead of believe. And practicing, oh my God, you have to practice constantly, it seems like.
which can be hard until you start to feel and see the benefits in your life day to day, hour by hour.
And they also have you apply them to the day by day benefits. One today, have me apply them to what I'm going to be experiencing on the first when I go visit my son for the first time in 3 years. And we left in a terrible situation. And what I'm getting from that is I'm holy. I can give him blessings. That's all I have to give him, and I have to stay away from asking for anything.
Be there to give.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to say, I was listening to something the other day that I guess what it leads me to say, Luann, putting myself in your situation, and I do every day, is trust. It's almost like trust that the blessings are coming through you, that you're there. Jesus has you there, the Course has you there, whatever you want to call it, has you there to be a blessing. And you don't have to, or that I would do, I would try to figure out, well, what do I say? You know, what, how do I act? You know, what do I, no, just, I think it's just the trust that the blessing is, let the blessing come, just come through you without even knowing.
What I'm trying now to do is not do anything and trust that the Holy Spirit will do what I want to do.
That's what exactly what I'm saying in different words.
Having to get involved.
Make sure your ego's not driving.
Yeah. Step back.
Read page 28 every morning before you walk in the door and each morning when you wake up. Remember page 28? Let's go there real quick. Just as a quick refresher, this never gets old. Tell me exactly. I mean,
I think it's your turn, Emily. I think it's your turn, Emily.
Page 28, huh?
Page 28, front of the book, chapter 2. This came out, Bill had a big speech to give, and he was so nervous. He was paralyzed with fear, big department speech and a lot of experts in the audience, and he didn't know if he really had what it takes or something. He was nervous. And Jesus came through hell and said, tell this to Bill. Tell Bill to say this to himself before he goes on stage to give this talk. So it's on page 28. And, you know, it's basically paragraph 18. Emily, you're going to read that for us? I got your mute.
Okay. I have it in italicized in brackets, and it says toolbox.
That's a girl. Good.
Come to think about it, I just found it.
You can do much on behalf of your own healing and that of others if, in a situation calling for help, you think of it this way. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because he who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal.
Wow, that brings tears.
I know.
What a gift. What an orienting gift.
So did you say, Andrew, say that every morning and every night?
What's that?
Did you say that you suggest that we say that every morning and every night?
I suggest that if you're going into an uncomfortable situation,
okay,
that may be like seeing your son for the first time in his own house for 3 years, or if you're going into the hospital and you're going to hold the hand of somebody who has cancer and there's no way out, you think, you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You know what? Go there to be truly helpful and go there to represent a capital letter who sent you. You don't have to worry about what to say or what to do because he who sent you will direct you in the moment at that. It might just be silence and just to look deep into their eyes and know that they are also spirit. To know that as you know, you're not actually a body. They're not actually a body either. Just to know that and hold that space for them. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe it's to say some very nice words that come to you naturally because you're so close to them. It's one of your relatives or whatever. But just be truly helpful. You don't know how to be truly helpful, but there is one in you who does. Content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me.
Gary Renard says that every time before he goes out on stage.
I'll bet. There you go.
Say that again.
That's how it was designed.
Gary Renard, the universe guy.
You know, yeah. Disappearance of the Universe?
Yeah.
Next to Marion Williamson, he's the largest promoter of A Course in Miracles through his books.
It's funny that Disappearance of the Universe is so popular. And if you just read that book, you would think he was crazy without a little bit of background in A Course in Miracles.
It's what got me interested in A Course in Miracles. I didn't think he was crazy at all.
No, maybe you're
on the right on the money.
Probably what?
I thought he was right on the money, but I had a long history with Adyashante, who was also a wackadoodle, saying, you're not real. You don't
I
exist.
That's what I meant by being here with us. I've had a lot of different teachers, too, including Adyashante, and
yeah.
I wouldn't be here if it weren't for all of them. Well, maybe that's not true. I bought those books back when I was 40 and hadn't even started. Something brought me here, that's for sure.
This is in the toolbox because of its direct nature. This is lifting you right out of you taking responsibility, being clever and helpful and saying the right thing or not saying the wrong thing. It lifts out the responsibility from you and just asks you to be open-minded, tolerant, trusting, loving. There you go. She's got the toolbox right there. Atta girl. It's all marked up too. Yeah, you bet. Okay, let's get back to business. Emily, on page 475, would you read for us paragraph 5?
Reason will tell you that the form of error is not what makes it a mistake. If what the form conceals is a mistake, the form cannot prevent correction. The body's eyes see only form. They cannot see beyond what they were made to see. And they were made to look on error and not see past it. Theirs is indeed a strange perception, for they can see only illusions, unable to look beyond the granite block of sin and see at the outside form of nothing. to this distorted form of vision, the outside of everything, the wall that stands between you.
Uh-oh. We lost Emily.
Come on back, Emily.
He's got faith.
Okay. through this, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you laughing.
I'm not laughing at you.
Oh, yeah, I know. You're enjoying this, too. You have a worse connection than me. I think that's impossible.
I know. Okay.
Oh, would you pick up with sentence 8 and continue?
Okay. Yet how can sight that stops at nothingness, as if it were a solid wall, see through? It is held back by form, having been made to guarantee that nothing else but form will be perceived.
Wow. This is like Jesus actually knows how eyeballs and egos work. How you solely worked only before you were on your spiritual journey. Your teacher understands you. Isn't this good news? Okay, Luann, when you're ready, paragraph 6. I think I locked up.
Luann, you're muted.
Oh, okay.
And I think,
these eyes made not to see will never see.
Luann, could you start over, please?
These eyes made not to see will never see. For the idea that they represent left not marker, and it's not. Okay, got to put the book further away. For the idea they represent left not its maker, and it is this their maker that sees through them. It's their maker that sees through them. What was its maker's goal but not to see? For this the body's eyes are perfect means, but not for seeing. See how the body's eyes rest on externals and cannot go beyond? Watch how they stop at nothingness, unable to go beyond the form to meaning. Nothing so blinding as perception of form. For sight of form means understanding has been obscured. And I wrote after that, and heaven is gone.
So that's, you know, that's an absolute. It's a very simple math. A fundamental metaphysical truth being pointed out by your book. There's nothing so blinding as a perception of form.
So when we are finally at the last step, we won't see others or any form. We'll only see them through God's eyes. Is that true?
Not exactly. The last step, you will still see form, but you will see it at, truly as what it is.
Okay, so what, life?
You're not capable from this perspective to have an accurate definition.
Oh, okay. Well, you know me.
But we can say that it's not as it appears to be now. When your perspective returns to spirit, it's like, you know, the Wizard of Oz, kind of seeing what's behind the curtain. You will understand the relationship of spirit and matter. form. You will see it as continuous, not as separate. Do you see?
Okay. I don't think I see, but maybe I will eventually.
Can I throw something in here?
You sure, Don?
Well, it occurs to me the understanding I'm seeming to have is that spirit doesn't start and end with form. That is to say, spirit is in the spaces that are between forms. And I think, and then when, so we've talked about unity or oneness, everything's connected. It's the form. That's anyway, not very articulate about it, but
yeah, yeah. Try this. Try this from page one. Spirit is all encompassing.
Yes. And we in our perceptions, I'm going to say make form where it's not.
That's correct. That is correct. We make form where it is not, and we make it into something that it is not. And this is a quote from the book, okay? It's a short sentence. It's in perfect iambic pentameter. Its very nature is, it is not. Now, you can think that it is. See, this is the power of mind. You can think that it is and that it's solid and that it is actually life itself. That's what people go out in nature and say, I'm going to go meet with God by going into nature. Half true. The insight that you gain from awakening to your spirit is the ability to, this is right in this section, it's exactly what we're talking about, is the ability to see, right? But not with your eyes. The ability to perceive, but perceive not strictly form. Do you see? And this section contains one of my favorite spiritual path words, beyond. This work allows you the thinking, choosing, fragmented personality mind to go beyond the limits where you have found yourself. From the perspective of spirit, or what we call Christ's vision, you can look back, and this is back to what Luann said, you can look back on this limited existence you thought was all that it is, all that there is. You look back on it and see for what it really is, which is a dream using mind, okay? Using the power of mind. There's only one mind. You just see how it's all connected, and you see how small and meaningless is a dream. It's very much like walking into a library, pulling a single book off the shelf, and seeing your entire life written in the book. And you look next to it and say, I wonder what's in the next book. My life seemed like everything I had and anybody could have. Like all there was in this book. And you find out that's a single book on a shelf in a library of a billion volumes. Ross, go.
So I was reading a Ken Wapnick-ism, and he put it, and I'll try to play it into your metaphor. So he put it like, let's say your life and all everything is in a video library. And also on that shelf is a video called Atonement. And you can pull it down anytime you choose. And when you start playing that video, it says, oh, the separation never happened. by the way, you've always been and always will be spirit. So that's the video that you're waiting. It's in your library. It's already there. You, the time that you, the way he's putting it is the time that you're going to pull that video off the shelf of your mind is predetermined, but it's already there. I don't know if that helps, but that's kind of something Ken, it's a Kenism. And I liked it because, you know, it's a simple little metaphor of, oh, the atonement, your enlightenment is a video in your mind already there. You just have to choose the time to pull it out, push play on your old VCR. You're going to dust it off and play, push play on that old VCR you have. I have one in my back closet. Put that videotape in that's been sitting on your shelf and play your enlightenment video, play your atonement video, play your forgiveness video too while you're at it. Forgive what's specific, forgive what's general, because that video is on your shelf. Play what's specific, play what's general. Then you can play the atonement video. Then you can play the enlightenment video. It's all there on your shelf. Just whenever. And if you read the course and flip through, you'll see those lines, those very lines. Why wait for heaven? He says. Why wait? Do it now. Go to the shelf and pull that video down now. Because that's the only time there is.
Yeah.
Just dust off that VCR. It's in your closet.
And you pull that stuff off the shelf and you actually look at atonement, salvation, forgiveness, eternity.
You're just re-remembering it. Pull it down now.
Ross, that's what I was going to say. The videos, I want to kind of... The videos have been going on the whole time. You just haven't been aware of those videos. We've just been aware of the video we made up. Was that accurate? Is that consistent with what you're saying?
But I don't understand it. If you look at some Ken Wapnick metaphors, that's the one he uses, is the video of the atonement is on the shelf.
I got it.
It's not here now, but it's on the shelf ready for you to pull down and play. It's kind of a something to sit with.
Yes.
He's a smart guy. Smarter than me.
There is something for you to do to pull it off the shelf and play it. That's correct. It's available. But you're already playing the ego movie. It's using the spot in your VCR or your DVD. The ego movie is taking up all your attention.
That's what I was saying.
Oh.
And I was saying also, and then it occurs to me, you know, where someplace Jesus talks about your creations have been saved for you. Your creations have been saved for you. So they've happened. And I would say that's one of the videos and that you're talking about.
I hope I can speak before I run out of bandwidth. But the other night I had a dream. It was Christmas night. I had a dream that someone was breaking in my door. But I don't know if I was dreaming. It felt like someone was breaking in. So I woke myself up and I went to the door and nobody was out there. And it was perfectly peaceful out there. Nothing was, you know, there was nobody. And so I really thought someone won, but then I stopped and I thought, wait, I was just dreaming. This didn't really happen. I was just dreaming, but wait, no, maybe what? And so I had no way of knowing. Maybe I was dreaming. Maybe someone was breaking in. All I could do at that moment is not know. And so I called on Holy Spirit, and in that moment, I was able to be at peace, not knowing. And that was
beautiful.
All within, like, I don't know, 5 minutes.
Great analogy, great example.
It's a non-issue. I found peace.
Yeah, and you know what occurs to me? Am I interrupting you?
Well, I just wanted to say I didn't have to go pull anything off the shelf. It came to me. In real life, you know, I mean, I think, you know, there are times when we have to go do something, but in this instant, it came to me, like the waking up.
It does say we have nothing to do.
Without having to do anything other than...
Yeah, just have to ask.
Yes, it becomes automatic when you start to own it and grow it in your own mind, and you start to contribute to the reality of freedom. Go ahead, Don.
Well, it occurred to me that if there was somebody at the door, and if you called on Holy Spirit and gained peace, since we're all one mind, that person, if let's say the person was there, that their mind could have become peaceful because you could join, in other words, join in spirit, because you invited spirit into the awareness, if you will. And I don't know, so that if they were trying to break in, they would just become peaceful and do something else.
I think
that's my story.
I think it's more complicated than that for me, John.
What?
I think it's less complicated for me than that. I think it's a little bit like driving over the hill, and I didn't know I did it because I've driven over the hill so many times. If I practice asking the Holy Spirit, eventually I don't have to ask anymore. The Holy Spirit just knows what to tell me to do. Knows I'm open to it.
The most important thing is that you are choosing peace for yourself and not trying to change the world.
No.
All right. Let's pick up the next paragraph. Who read last?
It was Jacqueline.
I think we're ready for Ross.
I mean,
Ross, you read for us paragraph 7. I got your mute.
Only mistakes have different forms, and so they can deceive. You can change form because it is not true. It could not be reality because it can be changed. Reason will tell you that if form is not reality, it must be an illusion and is not there to see. And if you see it, you must be mistaken, for you're seeing what cannot be real as if it were. What cannot see beyond what is not there must be distorted perception and must perceive illusions as the truth. Could it then recognize the truth?
Excellent. Excellent distillation of the simple limit, the difference between form being your reality and spirit being your reality. How limited is form? And the eyes are form. They're form perceiving. They're form perceiving focus in the mind. And the spirit uses vision to go beyond the appearances. Ross, what do you got?
So I was thinking about that. It always confuses me. Maybe I'll get it right, but it's... what you expect, you invite, and what you invite, you expect. So this is almost saying that
great circle.
You think it up, And then that's what you see, and you interpret it as what you expected.
Amen, brother.
Be careful what you think about. You're going to get it.
As you give, you receive.
Yeah, that too.
When you put it in your mind and you expect it, you're giving it attention. Your mind is very powerful. It is a creator. You happen to be dreaming, but doesn't mean creation is turned off.
Or miscreating.
You will miscreate. Very good.
Yeah.
You will miscreate. And that's what a fantasy is.
Project. Miscreate and project.
Bingo. Very good. Jason, are you reading tonight? I think that's a no.
I did too.
Too dark.
Okay. Don, would you give us paragraph 9?
Okay.
Oh, no, actually it's 8, isn't it? Yeah, paragraph 8.
Yes. Okay. 8. Let not the form of his mistakes keep you from him whose holiness is yours. Let not the vision of his holiness, the sight of which would show you your forgiveness, be kept from you by what the body's eyes can see. Let your awareness of your brother not be blocked by your perception of his sins and of his body. What is there in him that you would attack except what you associate with his body, which you believe can sin? Beyond his errors is his holiness and your salvation. You gave him not his holiness, but tried to see your sins in him to save yourself. And yet his holiness is your forgiveness. Can you be saved by making sinful the one whose holiness is your salvation?
Yeah.
That's what my lessons 35 through 39 are all about, that one paragraph.
Andrew, I don't know if you might recall, just a second, my son's...
Okay, did Don just check out? My connection is so bad. Did Don say his...
He's taking care of his son.
Yeah, son, son. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Ross.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, Don.
Yeah, let me say, I don't know if you recall, but quite a few months ago, we were talking about holy relationship and salvation and my relationship and how we had agreed that Michelle is my savior. You know, that my salvation is in this relationship. And this tonight is all about what seemingly started, you know, on Sunday night with that dramatic interaction. It's so beautiful. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for shining it back to us. You know, this is how it's done. This is now what the body is good for. This is what time is good for. Relationships are good for now. They're for good. They can translate what was going bad into bringing the most beautiful experience on earth. Good, Don. Go ahead, Ross.
So I was looking at this sentence that says, you gave him not his holiness, but tried to see your sins in him to save yourself. And just thinking that to add to that, it's that you put that character in your dream to project your guilt about that your perceived separation from God onto him. That's really what's underneath it that I thought should be said, that's why you see your sins in him, is because you can't live with that, unconscious guilt that you perceive you separated and tried to kill God. So you project it on somebody else. But as we were also saying, His holiness is your forgiveness. So see that, if you see that, why you're doing that, why you're projecting your sins onto Him, then you can go, oh, I actually put that person in my dream so I would have a place to put that guilt that's so unbearable, because I think I separated from God, which I could never do, but I think I did, so I need some place to put that guilt. So it seemed like that should go with that.
And Ross, I guess I would say that I or Jesus put that character there too for my healing. So, because I needed to see my guilt. I need to see the, you know, guilt and my own. I needed to see that.
That's the reinterpretation.
Yeah.
Remember, there's no mistake except the mistake that this is what you are. It's all working. Your brother, the reflections of what you're choosing to be sinful, all that is not a mistake. And it doesn't even need to be healed. It's a fantasy. It's a nightmare. And it will heal on its own. It's just like when the movie ends. All movies end. All of them.
And it's healed by it coming to light.
That's why I put that whole thing in there, was because when you see that, you see that you put that character in there. That's why the ego thought system put it in there, but you can reinterpret it, which is the next sentence. Yet His holiness is your forgiveness, because that's just an idea in your mind as you are an idea in your mind. So you can reinterpret that idea in your mind and say, no, yeah, I realize the ego thought system put that in there for me to project my unconscious guilt onto, but there is no unconscious guilt because I never separated from God, which is the atonement. I never separated from God. The separation does not exist. Therefore, that person that I believe is in my dream to project my guilt on is actually just part of my mind, an idea in my mind, as the Ross character is an idea in my mind. Therefore, all is good right now.
Yeah, so I didn't separate from God, but I separated from my awareness of God.
Nicely done.
Good way to put it.
Look at page 218, Don. Now that you've said that magic sentence you just said, I want you to show you one simple sentence on page 218.
Front of the book.
Can I say it? I don't feel like I made that other person the way they are. I think I made my perception of what they are the way they are. Not, and so what I have to do is change my... I think when I make a perception of other people, it's not because I've separated from God. It's because I need that lesson about what I need to do to get back to God.
Nothing I see means anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, your perceptions are your... the world as you make it. Don, look on page 218, paragraph 1. You might want to highlight sentence 5 because of what you just said.
I will highlight it again.
Highlight it again. Task of the miracle worker thus becomes to deny the denial of truth. Kind of what you said.
Yeah.
Truth is there, and that paragraph continues to say that in order to deny something, you have to believe in it so that you can deny it. You have to be aware of it so you can deny it and block it. Very clever.
Yeah, but denial's a river in Egypt.
Where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. What you hold as true is what you will follow. We're using this book to heal our minds about what's true. what nobler task could you have? What longer reaching, farther reaching task could you have than to allow your mind to return to its awareness of the truth, God, love, sharing, eternity, timelessness, infinity? Yeah. That's where you're, this is the healing of your mind. And the way we're, the gentlest way to do it is back on page 28. I will be healed as I let him is a part of your mind still connected to the truth. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. You have to heal your misperceptions. That's what a miracle is. Forgiveness is letting go of the wrong thinking. The miracle is shifting from wrong thinking to right thinking. As you're deep in this, I mean, this, you have surrounded yourself with these beliefs deeply. Now it's time to return to love. Now it's time to substitute fear that you think is so strong and so protecting, to now owning fearlessness. As you deal with pain, you no longer need to suffer because you will not be afraid. Isn't that great? Yes, of course, you say. Yeah, that's a healing. Let's get paragraph 9. Luann, would you read for us paragraph 9?
A holy relationship, however newly born, must value holiness above all else. Unholy values will produce confusion and unawareness. What in the world does that mean? Unholy values.
Yeah, in awareness.
And in awareness. In an unholy relationship, each one is valued because he seems to justify the other's sin. Each sees within the other what impels him to sin against his will. And thus he lays his sins upon the other and is attracted to him to perpetuate his sin. And so it must become impossible for each to see himself as causing sin by his desire to have sin real. Yet reason sees a holy relationship as what it is, a common state of mind, where both give errors gladly to correction, that both may happily be healed as one.
Wow, sounds like a holy relationship, doesn't it?
Now,
where both give errors gladly to correction, that both may happily be healed as one. And if we're not doing what this tells us not to do, then we're not going to be healing together. In other words, the book tells me, in these paragraphs and these chapters I'm reading, these lessons I'm reading, not to make demands. And I'm thinking, you know, if I don't make demands of my son and his family, they're going to welcome me a whole lot differently than they would if I started talking about all the stuff they've done over the years that have been hurtful. Which
I'm into that.
Huh? I'm into that. Yeah, because I haven't ever told them the things that have been hurtful. I've just held it and held it and held it.
Yeah, you might think about being present with them. Very, very present. No past thoughts, no future guarantees or requirements.
Yeah, be in
being
the now.
Present.
Absolutely.
Here and now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Andrew?
Yes, sir?
That last sentence, 7, mm-hmm. it seems to say to me that both people have to somehow agree. And that just doesn't, that doesn't seem to be what's happening in my life. You know, that's my effort or my intention, my desire to have a holy relationship, which involves letting go, forgiven, you know, living and letting go, trying, you know, let go of my attachment to how I see things And I don't perceive that's Michelle's commitment. So and that seems discouraged. That's discouraging because I thought, well, you know, if I can truly let go.
I think, Don, that you have to recognize that there's some, if you're letting go and sending love to Michelle and wanting a beautiful relationship with her, you may never get it, but if that's what you're wanting. But if you just want to send love without any reason for anything she has to do, you'll receive love.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
That's what you're looking for. So the more love you can send, I was trying to send, my biggest thing, miracle, was trying to send love to my brother. And when I finally gave up and said, I don't know how to do that, the Holy Spirit did it for me, and I was immersed in love.
Okay.
All around me, within me, flowing. Felt like an amazing energy that I couldn't even grab a hold of all there was.
Yeah, I definitely...
My brother hasn't acted like he received it. I just know that I got it back because I was sending it. And somebody out there in the universe was receiving it and sending it back to me. And that's all I needed was somebody else to be, or some other force of love to be sent back to me.
Well, I definitely notice that I am in process of being truthful with myself and noticing when I want Michelle, I'm inclined to want Michelle to be different or change.
That's a demand, isn't it?
Say it again.
That's a demand, isn't it?
Yeah, it's inside. I'm no longer, at least I'm watching that now. I watch that occur in my mind, and I don't act on it, and I don't feel, I'm not going to feeling deprived because she's not behaving. I'm not saying I don't still do the same habit, but I'm in the transition away from it.
I think that's like feeling pain. When you get that thought that she's not doing what I want, change your thinking and think about something pleasant. Why would you want to stick with, what do I have to do about this thought?
I am letting it go. I hear your point of view, and that actually is a good spiritual practice. And I could see if that would help.
You could try it and see, huh? Okay. Let me know the result.
Remember, Don, you're not going to let go. You're going to get in, but at the right level. And you're going to have your perspective changed with the Holy Spirit. You let go of your own agenda and start joining in love with your partner, and you will find a whole new life.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you
for studying A Course in Miracles with me. My connection is just barely enough so I can even turn this thing off. See you guys all next week.
Goodbye.
Nice seeing you, Jason.